to. You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to the full count. Let's go!
Drives it left field, absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Let's go! Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer, with hosts Ryan Antkowiak and Hunter the Country Biscuit Ricks.
I hate all Dodgers. Super Biscuit. Big old Biscuit. Slathered, covered, smothered Biscuit.
What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Today we will be continuing our dynasty rankings, and we're already starting out the episode with a curveball. We've decided that we will dedicate an entire episode to the outfield category, so today we are going to focus on third base and a surprise positional category. Spoiler alert, if you listened to our previous episode, you very well may know what I'm talking about here. So if you're in the know, thank you for tuning in again. Really do appreciate it. Now, before I bring in Hunter the Country Biscuit Rakes, my co-host, let me get a bit of housekeeping out of the way. First off, please subscribe to the Weekly Streamer Podcast Network and leave us a rating and a review. I can't begin to describe how much that helps us build our presence in this industry. While you're there, be sure to check out the Prospect Pod, where Richard Hake, otherwise known as The Hawk, deep dives every single minor league farm system. Also, be on the lookout for his new show, anchored by Maddie Ballgame Matthew Basnan, called The Setup Men. This show will be entirely focused on pitching, so if you dig numbers, matchups, rankings, or just talking pitching, this show is definitely for you. Lastly, thanks for tuning in. As a reminder, once the season is underway, we will be releasing new episodes each and every week to get you ready for the week ahead. Last year, we rolled out a bunch of fun segments, many of which will be back this year, as are many of the guests this year, so we are very, very excited to get underway. Now, if you haven't heard, this year we rolled out our very own Patreon page. If you aren't familiar with Patreon, it is a platform that allows artists and content creators to share their work for a monthly fee. And for just $5 a month, you can have access to our full minor league system write-ups, which is a more thorough and written version of the Prospect Pod, as well as our top 600 prospect rankings, top 500 dynasty rankings, MLB draft rankings, as well as our full library of articles, and of course, our dynasty positional rankings, which we are continuing to dig into today. Also, we have a few fantasy leagues coming out soon, and patrons get the first crack at joining. All of these are in the works, and one is actually already underway. We've seen awesome growth over the last month or so please consider joining and supporting our work. Oh, one more great feature to Patreon, you will have access to a private Discord channel. That alone, my friends, is worth the money, as you can directly communicate with both our writers and the entire growing community. All right, so let's dig into the 2022 Dynasty Rankings. As a reminder, since these are Dynasty Rankings, we will include prospects where we see fit. All right, let's get into it. Biscuit, how you doing, my man?
Brother, I am good. Doing great. Getting to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, we've been talking a lot. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. We're show's coming back. Very, very excited.
The Weekly Streamers 2022 Dynasty Baseball Rankings. Third base.
All right, man, so we're talking third base today, and then we've got a surprise category, which I can't wait to unveil, but let's start with third base. So like I've done in the other shows, I'm just going to rattle off the top 10, and then want you to dig into a couple players that you particularly happen to like. So third base, our number one is, it's kind of a 1-1-A, I'd say, but our number one is Rafael Devers. Number two, Jose Ramirez. Number three, Manny Machado. Number four, Alex Bregman. Number five, Nolan Arenado. Number six, Austin Riley. Number seven, Spencer Torkelson. Number eight, Chris Bryant. Number nine, Yoan Moncada. Number 10, Anthony Rendon. Overall thoughts on third base as a whole, and once you go there, then also just highlight a couple guys that you happen to like or dislike on our list in that top 10.
So this is probably the weakest we have seen the third base position, top to bottom, in a long time that I can remember. Usually first base had the guys up top, but not a lot of depth. And that's kind of how I feel about this position. You still have your handful of stars at the top. Then you really just have your old guys, the guys that are just kind of past their prime. You have a handful of young guys coming up. You got Torque in the top 10, but just not – who not there yet. So, for me, Robinson Devers being at one is kind of the big shocker there. I think that's just because of the age of Jose Ramirez and him getting up there. But the one I really want to highlight, Austin Riley, I really believed in what he did. I think he started to make a lot of adjustments, and he made a big step forward last year. In a league where there's just all the elite guys are getting older and probably falling out of their primes, it wouldn't shock me in 2 to 3 years if the top five looks more like Torque, Riley, Casas. I mean, you guys will mention, but they may not even be in the league yet because just the top guys are getting older and it may fall off soon. So third base is really a position where I think you need to solidify it early. So if you're in a draft or you're going to trade, you really need to solidify third base first. It's just not a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, you think about third base, Ramirez, Machado, Arenado, Rendon, you know, Chris Bryant. If you're a fantasy baseball player, those are all such household names at this point. Austin Riley, if you're a casual fan, you might not even really realize how friggin' good he was last year. 33 bombs, 107 RBIs. He batted over 300, an OBP at 367. You know, is there somewhat of a slump coming? Maybe, but even if he's at 80% of those numbers, those are still really, really good. And at just 25 years old, I agree with you. He's going to be right at the top for the next couple of years. And, you know, maybe he should even be higher on our list. It's tough to say. I mean, obviously guys like Machado and Bregman have done it. They likely will continue to do it. But Riley is a good shout-out there.
Yeah, and I will say a lot of my analysis comes from me doing a lot of salary leagues. So that's also a lot of my analysis. It's just because if you look at all those names, they make a lot of money top to bottom. You know, Machado making 30-plus. Arenado making 30-plus, Rendon making 30-plus, Bregman's up to $32 million this year. So that's where a lot of my mindset goes, is that a lot of the guys are really expensive. If you're just in a regular dynasty where salaries aren't involved, guys like Machado are more valuable, guys like Rendon still have some value. But definitely in salary-type leagues, it's a position where it's hard to get the young guy. So, and we've talked about it before, but like Torque, he may end up going to first.
Mm-hmm.
So then what do you do if even the top, there's just no solidified guy yet, young guy that we know is going to play third base. So it's hard.
Yep, you're right about that. Hey, question for you. What's your read on Yoan Moncada? I've had him on a bunch of teams. I've kind of gone into acquiring him thinking he's the next big thing. And, I mean, he hasn't been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but he also has not taken steps like I thought he might, being, you know, considered a top prospect not that long ago. You think he's got more to grow, or do you think he is what he is at this point?
I mean, I think he is what he is, but, you know, look at last year. He had 263, had a 375 OBP. You know, I mean, the home runs have not quite been there since 2019. Back when the juice ball. So that's what you really want to see, right? If he had all of those things and hit 25 to 30 bombs, he'd be a top three third baseman. I think we really want to see the power. He's still getting up there. He's only just turning 27. So I do think that now's the time. Like, I think he has an extra step. You don't know now that we finally have baseball again that, you know, with spring training, everything getting going and ramped up and the season starting, you know, we don't know what the ball will be like. We don't know what the rule changes, how that will affect day-to-day. So I'll be very interested to see if the ball changes and if you see a lot of homers. If Moncada starts hitting homers, he's legit. I think he's a great buy if you miss out on the top handful. I think he's a name that people have a little bit of fatigue on.
So, totally agree.
Yeah, like you've been wanting him to be good, and he just hasn't been quite what you were hoping for. So it just inherently drives the value down. We see that all the time with prospects. So I think he's a solid buy because I think you can get him far cheaper. And he's not in his prime yet. Like, not, he's just entering the prime.
Correct.
So his best day should be coming.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, so you brought this up already, and I'll just kind of double down on it. But if you look at the position, you've got Machado, who's definitely getting – he's it's more likely he gets worse than gets better. Same with Arenado. Probably same with Chris Bryant. Same with Anthony Rendon. So a guy like Mancata, in theory, should rise up the list – given his age and, frankly, the team around him, too. I mean, the White Sox ought to be very good. So Moncada's a guy I like. He, again, he's kind of disappointed me, but I think I'd go back to that well if it was choosing between him and an older player at this point. All right, so let's rattle off 11 through 20 and get your read on that. So number 11 is Cabrian Hayes, which is a guy I know you've talked about a bit in the past. DJ LeMahieu at 12. Alberto Mondesi, he does have third base eligibility. You talked a bit about him on the shortstop position, so I think we just go ahead and skip him. Alec Bohm, number 15, Ryan McMahon. Number 16, another prospect here, Tristan Casas. Number 17, Justin Turner. Number 18, Matt Chapman. Number 19, Austin Martin. That's another prospect. And number 20, Patrick Wisdom. Who's a player or two there you'd like to highlight?
Okay, so the guy that I have been buying, honestly, it feels like everywhere, because I feel like his value has completely fallen off the earth, and that would be Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm was unacquirable this time last year. You couldn't sniff trying to get him. And I just think he has struggled so far. But if you look at it, he's just played a full season. The power's not quite been there, but he's just been 23-24. The average hasn't been embarrassing, but you'd like to see a little bit more. I just think he's too young and he has too much of a caliber, too much of a pedigree for us just to completely fall off of him. I understand the value dipping, but when you're looking it's just kind of doubling down and tripling down of there just aren't a lot of young, cheap third basemen. So if you're in the realm of maybe retooling or trying to switch gears and save money, he's cheap. He's pre-arb eligible. You're going to have at least, I think, 4 more years of control. And he's young.
Yep.
You can get him from the cheapest you're ever going to get him right now. And it's so cheap that if he even progresses a little bit, you double your value. So to me, he's a great buy low right now because you know what he's capable of. And I think I read something on Fangraphs that his ground ball rate is just astronomically high. So you have to think if that's the big reason, because his power grades out as plus.
Yep.
So if he can work on his ground ball rate in spring training and camp and get the ground ball rate up and work on his trajectory, the power's there. It's going to fly off. So he's a guy I'm targeting just about everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good call. You know, he's in the same kind of line of thinking I was just saying with Mancata, right? Like, there's so many guys around him that are older. I mentioned a bunch already, but to add to that list, Justin Turner, you know, Chapman's getting up there in age. LeMahieu, I mean, clearly he's going in that direction. So guys like him and Hayes and Mancata sort of naturally have to make their way to the top. And Bohm is so dang cheap right now. That is a really, really good call.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know that I love Cabrian Hayes. Some bit of me thinks that maybe he's, because I've hyped him up, that maybe he's getting a little overbought a little bit. I still think he's solid. The price is not great. It's probably fair, but not. I don't want to get a guy at fair or high value. I like to get him before they peak. So, still like Cabrian. I think that lineup is going to be better sooner rather than later. But yeah, Bohm's the big piece for me there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you on Hayes. I think that people still want to charge you that top price, that top 100 price. And he's been in the majors enough now where he's kind of needs to show me something. So I'm not completely giving up on him. But, you know, 6 home runs last year, 38 RBIs, an OBP at 316. Like, that's – you were saying this on one of our other pods. Like, when your OBP's that low – you need a lot of things to go right. And I'd like to see him progress before I would go out of my way to get him at the price that it costs to acquire him. So,
like I don't think the difference in talent is far between Hayes and Bohm, but Bohm is significantly cheaper. So that's just how my mind works to go to buy. And, you know, if you go down the list, what in the top 20 makes you giddy inside? Matt Chapman has been a shell of himself recently. Ryan McMahon kind of is what he is. We don't know if he really has a hold on any job there. Alberto Mondesi, you know, I won't talk about
it. Don't go down that rabbit hole again.
We know how I feel about Alberto Mondesi. You know, rather take a swim, you know, a bath naked in lava. So, but there's just nothing there. Dustin Turner's old. Casas would be the best bet there, but he may go to first base.
Yep.
So then you're screwed.
Well, and you know, we had Martin in there too, who Martin could be a shortstop or an outfielder. So, yeah, I think the prospects you have to just sort of wait and see. If it's important to you that they specifically play third, it's premature.
Right.
Moving outside of the top 20, number 21, we have Eduardo Escobar. Number 22, another prospect, Nolan Gorman. Number 23, Kevin Biggio. 24, Eugenio Suarez from the Reds. 25, Josh Donaldson. Number 26, Jordan Groshans, another prospect. Number 27, Josh Jung, another prospect. Unfortunate injury with him this year. 28, Mike Moustakas. Number 29, Gio Urshela. 30, Jordan Walker. 31, Heimer Candelario. Number 32, Jose Miranda. Can keep going further from there, but we got into a few names there, a few prospects as well. Anybody in that batch that you think could be a pretty natural riser if they truly stick at third?
I tell you what, part of me likes the 20 to 30 range more than I like the 10 to 20. You look at Kevin Biggio, kind of a similar story for how I feel about Bohm, right? Kevin Biggio came out, lit the world on fire. He was bought everywhere. Had a little bit of a sophomore slump, a little bit of a struggle. But they don't have a ton. I don't see Groshans pushing him just yet. You know, if they go and sign somebody, maybe I'll change my mind. But I think the talent's still there in a roto setting. Not necessarily points, but a roto setting for him to be a very strong player. And with the way his value is just kind of cranked and him having multi-positional eligibility, he's a great guy I've been buying low. I feel that same way about Eduardo Escobar. Going to be in a great lineup. Much better ballpark than in Arizona. He's got multi-position eligibility. Love what I've seen out of him. None of these guys are great, but these are great guys that are going to fall in your drafts that aren't going to quite be come at the premium. That if you have just punted third base, they can be stopgap while you wait on a prospect. I really like Eugenio Suarez if he goes back to third base solely. I think he really struggled trying to learn shortstop. That's a big son of a gun playing short, looking like me trying to fit into a size small dress. Just doesn't look right. not a fan. It's like watching, you know, Alberto Mondesi play baseball at all. It's just awful. Those are the three names that I really like this year. I think Josh Jung, if not for the injury, would probably be about 10 to 15 spots higher. We may have even seen him start in the year. So that one is the one that sucks. That's a good buy low. And then the last one I'll talk about is Jordan Walker. If your league does not have him ranked as a top 10 prospect overall right now, go grab him. Because it would not shock me if he's top 5 at the end of the year. Jordan Walker is special. I watched him when I was in South Bend, watching the Cubs. Jordan Walker is all that, then some. He is all that and three bags of chips. So...
Nice. Yeah, Walker is a guy that really is moving up charts. And you're right, in some leagues, he may not be a household name at this point. So that's a good call there, too. When I think about third base and it being a pretty old position, and there's some decent grabs if you're doing drafts, late in drafts, older established players, you know, I might like a third base where I take a flyer on a prospect that probably can't help me all that much yet. And pair them with an Eduardo Escobar or a Josh Donaldson, where I'll take the production now for a year or two and then hope that the guy I took a shot on finds a home. And they just kind of slot in right after each other. I think third base offers a lot of opportunities for sort of that approach. veteran presence, coupled that with a young player that hopefully sticks at the position.
No, I completely agree, man. And it's just, like I said before, we really, I do a lot of salary leagues, so that's where my mind goes. But Josh Donaldson's a good buy as well if you're not having to worry about the contract. If it's just a straight-up league, he definitely adds a ton of value to that team.
Yeah, just consistent.
Yeah, he's going to play. You're going to have to deal with the injuries. But if you're getting to this point of third base, whether this is your backup or you have just fixed every other position other than this one, I would not, advise that. But if you have to, these are guys that you can get far cheaper that can at least hold you down until you find a better option.
Yep, totally with you. Good deal, man. Anybody outside of the top, what I rattle off, 30, 32, that catches your eye?
So there's a couple. Like I said, third base, it's deep and bleh, right? Like there's a lot of guys that are down there that are just bleh. Like Evan Longoria is going to be a popular waiver wire ad for multiple weeks because he's going to have weeks where he plays really well. Of a guy like at 39, I've always been a Brian Anderson believer. I think Miami's lineup is getting better. He struggled a little bit with injuries, but he's right in his prime. The guy can flat hit, and if the power can ever come along, I could really see him popping up as well. Luis Urias, this guy's Arias, however you say it, you like him a lot. And then the last name that I'll say, you kind of mentioned him at 31, but I really like Yonmar Candelario. He kind of fits that Brian Anderson mode. And I've used him in 10-team leagues as a stopgap. He is almost free. You can find him everywhere. But he's going to give you 270, 280 average, some home runs, decent OBP. That Detroit Tigers lineup is going to be much improved. I like him as well if you're just looking for some depth at the bottom of your drafts or if you're looking forward on the trade market.
I like that. That's a good call. He's got probably a fairly short leash, a year or two, but if he's a bench bat for you, definitely a guy you could plug in if you have an injury at first or third in a lot of these leagues. The player I'm going to highlight here quick, and if you've listened to any of our other prospect pods, specifically the Twins, we really went into this guy quite a bit, but Jose Miranda. You talked about Jordan Walker being in the top 10. I'm not saying Miranda's quite that good, but he is a prospect that, if you're just kind of waking up and getting back into baseball, football's done now, et cetera, and you missed out on Jose Miranda's 2021 minor league season, it was disgusting. I mean, this guy batted 344, OBP over 400, 30 home runs, 94 RBIs, and that was split between AA and AAA. So at 23 years old, he's knocking on the door for a big league gig, plays third, plays second, and I think he's probably the long-term option in Minnesota once Donaldson's out of the equation. So if you're looking for, depending on your league setup, he might be available if you don't have super deep prospect rosters. Jose Miranda is a guy I love. In these 30-mans, he's become very, very expensive. But that's another player that I would go out and get because I think he's got a great future ahead of him.
Yeah, I completely agree. And he may be sooner rather than later with the Twins kind of going a rebuild, retool. If they can ever find a buyer for that Donaldson contract, wouldn't shock me if he's on the move as well.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree. All right, well, that's third base. Again, you compare that to some of the other positions that we've talked about. There's only a couple real outstanding players. It's, generally speaking, an older position. So pretty thin when compared to some of the other positions we've reviewed. What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor. Pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest, it's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips, clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They could be, they might be, they are a home run. All right, man. Next, I want to introduce the position that we are sort of thought it would be a useful list to put together, and that is a multi-position eligibility player. If you're in these deeper leagues, these players that can slot in at different positions are so critically important, especially in these 30-man leagues, 30-team leagues, where you've rostered 100-plus players. These guys, the value that comes with them are tremendous, so you can plug and play. So what I thought I'd do here is just rattle off, oh, I don't know, the top 30 names of all the players in the league that play more than one position. I should also mention that I did not include anyone that only plays multiple outfield spots. So we're just sort of looking at outfield as a position in and of itself, not left, center, right. So they play more than one position, and I think some of them are valuable. Now, a lot of these names are going to be pretty well known, but there's some deeper targets in here that I think are worth looking at. So I'm going to rattle off this list, and again, we have this up on Patreon. Number one, probably no surprise, Shohei Ohtani. Clearly, he's got a bat and he pitches, so he affects both sides of the game. But from there, Tatis this year is going to have dual eligibility, Fernando Tatis, Trey Turner, Marcus Semien, Austin Riley, Jared Walsh, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, Jazz Chisholm, Ketel Marte, Whit Merrifield, Jorge Polanco, Ty France, Max Muncy, Ryan Mountcastle, Andrew Vaughn, Chris Taylor, Dalton Varsho, Alex Kirilov, DJ LeMahieu, Gavin Lux, Ryan McMahon, Jake Cronenworth, Cody Bellinger, Lourdes Gurriel, Kyle Schwarber's got dual eligibility, Tommy Edmond, Brendan Rodgers, Jeff McNeil, Ahmed Rosario, Eduardo Escobar, Luis Urias, Luis Arraez. I can keep going. There's some other deeper players that I think are worth mentioning, but thoughts on the concept? Is this something that you look to do when you're building out your teams, having these plug-and-play type players?
Oh, for sure. You know, I don't think I necessarily go out with the top guys and go, you know, oh, they've got position flexibility. You know, I don't think you go get Tatis because he has two, you know, positions. But I think it's definitely something that gives even the best players a little bit of value because you know that you can plug and play. In daily leagues, that is so valuable, especially when injuries happen because you know they're going to happen. We really saw with COVID the past year or so how that affects you when you're having to plug guys in all the time. So position flexibility is beyond key. But I look forward as you get down the list. You know, guys that are kind of util players that give you tons of value. You know, we have him at 18, but you could argue Dalton Varsho may be one of the most important players because he has that he has the best, you know, letter next to his name, and that's the C for catcher. He could arguably be a top three catcher because he's going to play more often. He's going to steal bases. We may see a 2020 catcher, and that almost makes me want to puke. You know, who loves – I hate catchers. But Dalton Varsho, if he didn't have the C, he probably is far less valuable. I think he's a somewhat average player. But the fact that he has catcher next to his name, as long as he can catch enough to stay eligible, he really is one of the more Swiss Army knife players on this list. You'd be remiss without talking about Chris Taylor and the stud that he is. The last name that I mentioned that I really like in his position flexibility, you know, that's going to be Gavin Lux. I think he's going to take that, you know, kind of role that Chris Taylor does with the Dodgers. I think they're both going to kind of go in and out. And I think he is getting better by the day. We've already seen him get some outfield looks in the past. I like Gavin Lux as a guy that's going to have some position flexibility that you can use. He may even gain some more as he try to get his
back. Yeah, that's a good call. You know, the way I really think about this position, now, of course, we rattled off a bunch of players that just happen to have played more than one position, but I kind of go out of my way to think about the players who don't really have a starting job, right? Like, if you think about Chris Taylor, you don't associate him with a position, and that's where the value lies. Whereas if you think about Trey Turner or, you know, Jorge Polanco, Ty France, like, they play a primary position. I guess France bounced around some. But so Chris Taylor, you know, Jake Cronenworth, I think Ryan Mountcastle giving you that first-base outfield eligibility, Andrew Vaughn, same vein. Some of these guys, that they're just not a surefire first baseman yet or a surefire outfielder, but they're on the rise, and they're just super, super flexible. A couple other deeper names that, again, if you're in a deeper league, that I think is very valuable in that format, maybe not so much in a shallower format, but Josh Rojas and Jorge Mateo, both of those guys play almost every day and bounce all over the diamond. I happen to love both of those two. Any thoughts on those two or anybody else?
Well, I'll say this. I hate that you love them because me and you are in a lot of leagues, and you know your buddy Randy, that I feel like that I have to fight for these guys. But between you and him, I can't own them. I've tried, because if I don't get them before you guys do, they're gone. Anybody who will listen to us probably throughout the season, and I will die and burn on this, I'm sure Ryan as well, we are buying all the Josh Rojas and Jorge Mateo stock we can. It's not that they're amazing, but they have all that flexibility, and they have a lot of potential. Jorge Mateo finally got out of that godforsaken ballpark that is Petco Park. The place plays like a desert. You know, the outfield line may as well be the Sahara. You're never going to hit there. It's terrible for power. But the fact he's in Baltimore now, even with the fence moving in, I still think it's going to be a great ballpark. I love Jorge Mateo there. And then Josh Rojas is just solid on a team that's not competing. They're going to continue running him out as long as he's a cheap asset. I think both of those guys a ton. I completely agree. The last name, we've mentioned him before, but Joey Wendell saved a lot of people last year. And I think he's going to save a lot of people this year because you can get Joey Wendell in cheaper leagues for pretty much nothing. He's not going to cost you a ton. I won't go on and on, but I really like Joey Wendell as a safety blanket, right? He's porridge. He's that warm milk. You know, he's a long, you know, he's a cold beer after a long hot day. You know, he is Coors Light in the summertime. He ain't great. Boy, he hits the spot, right? So I like Joey Wendell a lot to be that kind of guy to cover your asses when you need to.
You know what? Hunter Riggs, he ain't great, but he hits the spot.
Hits the spot.
I love it. We're gonna figure out a way to keep using that little tagline. That's nice. A couple other guys you mentioned on a previous pod that don't have a ton of eligibility yet, but I think throughout 2022 will potentially pick up more. And again, deeper league targets, Taylor Walls and Tucapito Marciano. You had talked about them, I think, in our shortstop pod, or maybe second base. I guess that was the same episode. But I feel like both of those guys could be really – they could sort of be this year's version of Jorge Mateo, if you will. And also –
I'm banging the Taylor Walls drum something heavy. Both of those guys are going to be – you know, if Joey Wendell's Coors Light, they're Bud Light Miller. So, you know – I mean, I'm telling you now, those are the guys. If last year was Jorge Mateo, Josh Rojas, those are the guys that you tried to grab. Those are the guys now. It may take a little while. It may not be a complete, you know, instant ROI. But I really think if you wait and you give it time and you, you know, let it marinate like good fine wine, they are going to really pan out for you. And you'll be able to sell them for far more than you paid.
Yeah, for sure. The final thing I want to say about this position is if this is a strategy that you employ where you go and get these types of players, I will caution you that sometimes it can blow up in your face a little bit. I'll give you two examples. The first one is David Fletcher. David Fletcher really is probably the player that caught my eye onto this strategy 2-3 years ago when he played second and short and left and right and center even sometimes. You could plug him everywhere. Well, David Fletcher, in most leagues coming into 2022, is just a second baseman. and he's probably not a good enough second baseman where you would just lockstep start him. So you got to be cautious for that. You could also make the same case for Nick Solak out in Texas. He used to have second base and outfield eligibility. In some leagues, I believe he will only have second base this year. So you don't want to put all of, you know, you don't want to construct your whole team around this strategy because sometimes it comes back to bite you. But a guy like Mateo, a guy like Varsho have so much extra value because of the multiple positions. Just don't get caught stuck in just one position where suddenly it zaps that value.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. David Fletcher, which, you know, the cool part is that people listen to us on these podcasts. The bad part is they have great memories. They like to bring up things that we have said in the past. David Fletcher is a guy I love, and I will always say that I have loved him, and people tell me, that's your boy. I've always said a caveat. David Fletcher was my boy because of the position flexibility, and I remember when Hawk, me and him were on here, and he would say, oh, he's going to get the second base job. That's not good. David Fletcher's main calling card was all the flexibility, right? And we talked about earlier how deep second base is. I do think David Fletcher bounces back with the bats coming back in that lineup to give him protection at the top. But he's only average if he only has second. And in that deep position, he's not hardly worth it. So, you know, you bring a great point. Be conscientious that just because they have it today doesn't mean they'll have it tomorrow. And if your league, you know, some of these position flexibility are only in, you know, shallower requirements. If you're a league that requires 35 games at a position, that, you know, you may be screwed because that's not easy to get. So be very conscientious. Try to go a year at a time. Don't think just because they got this, they'll have it next. There's only a handful of guys you can really rely on that on. So,
yeah, good call. Be conscientious and conscious
about
it.
You know what?
Conscientious is like be real soft and friendly and personable.
Yeah, be a teddy bear.
Conscious, be mindful.
Yeah.
I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
I'm sure right, you man. Did. You know what? Go choke on some gravy.
Well, okay, so hopefully this little segment here, multi-position eligibility, was useful. From a listener standpoint, if you really liked it, let us know. If it was stupid, let us know. Let us know on Patreon or Facebook or wherever you can find us. But, you know, I've listened to a lot of other baseball pods and not a lot touch on this. In fact, I don't know if any have. So
none.
I just thought, you know, this might be useful, especially for those that are playing in these deeper leagues.
And here's the thing is, yeah, and I agree with you. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to let me have my second. I'm kidding. But just really piggybacking on, sorry. Nobody in these leagues targets these guys. When I know people are going after these guys in the leagues I'm in, I know those guys are savvy. Because not your average fantasy owner does that. So, you know, this is good information. It's a good thing to look for. It'll give you a leg up. If you're in a 10-team league with some of your buddies back home, I'm sure they're not looking for it. So these are some great names at the bottom that you can go and grab. And it can really, we say it a lot, and it sounds hokey, but it can help you win your leagues. And that's what we're here for. And I think it's a great strategy. It really shows that you know what you're doing.
If you want to get a leg up, I'll say interest season, pay attention to what teams are you know, needing to bring guys up from AAA, because sometimes you'll see, you know, AA and AAA players that maybe come off of a position and play third instead of short or something like that. And next thing you know, they've got dual eligibility, which makes the prospect that much more valuable. So we didn't specifically put prospects in here. But, you know, if I had to guess a year from now, there will be guys that were prospects in 22 that find their way on this list in 23 because they came up, they had a cup of coffee, and the next thing you know, they played three positions. So,
yeah. Well, and I'll talk one last guy before we kind of end, because I think Ed would be Ed, one of our good buddies, Ed Fingerhut, would be angry if I didn't mention him. And I don't know if he's addable in leagues that aren't 30 and very deep, but Tyler Wade is a guy that came over from the Yankees that has had some talent before. He has a ton of eligibility. He may fill that David Fletcher role for the Angels this year. I don't know if he's going to do enough to really matter in the majority of leagues. So not someone I would go rush to pick up. But if it's a deep, deep league and it's your last pick or you can get him for cheap as a throw-in, that's a guy that you may be thinking of, man, I'm glad I picked him up, you know, before he flies off waiver wires. He may not, he may bust, but it's a guy to look for as we get ready for the season.
Yeah, well, and Tyler Wade, again, I mean, he's not going to be fantasy relevant in a lot of leagues, but in deeper leagues, he's a perfect guy to have sitting on your bench because every so often someone's going to, you know, pull a muscle or they're going to be out for 4 or 5 days. Perfect guy to plug in that kind of a spot. So I think that's a good call, too. Any final thoughts on this week's episode, my friend?
No, sir. No, sir. Just baseball starting. I'm excited. Any day now. We're ready.
I know. That was painful, man. All right. Well, that's this week's episode of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by the Weekly Streamer. He's Hunter, the Country Biscuit Rakes, and I'm your host, Ryan Antkowiak. Tune in next week where we will dedicate the entire show to our outfield rankings. Also, be sure to check out all of our 2022 prospect pods and our new show, The Setup Men. That's it. Thanks for tuning into the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It could be, it might be, it is a home run. You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to. You are tuned in to the Full Count. Let's go!
Tries it. Left field. Absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Let's go! Did I lose you, my dude? Hello, hello. We may have lost the biscuit. Where the hell did he go? There he is. Can't hear you. Don't know where he went. Nothing. We lost our biscuit. We might have lost it at the store. We may have lost it at... Where else could we lose it? We lost it in the kitchen?
No.
I don't have songs about biscuits. Biscuits and gravy.